Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis 25. Now, let me just say at the beginning that this message is more for older people. I wouldn't say they have one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana. I'm not going to. But it is for older people. And I know there are some of you out there that are about ready to check out and say, I'm not ready to hear about when I'm going to die or the years that are going to precede my death. But let me tell you, you'll get there sooner than you think. Amen. Life is quick. James says it's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. And so maybe take some notes on how you are to live before you die. One man with a unique sense of humor wrote, "When I die, I want to go like Grandfather did, peacefully in his sleep, not screaming and yelling like all the other people in the car." That's a good one. Now, on a more serious note, and we need to get serious, amen? Death touches us all. Death is coming. It'll be here sooner than you think. Now, the best way to die right is to make sure we live right before we die. And let me explain. When someone asks, how do you hope to die, he really is asking, how do you intend to live until you die? Now, for many folks, their grave marker could honestly read, died age 60. And I'm just pulling out some ages, so I mean, you could fill it in with almost any age. Died age 60, but buried age 80. Meaning they really stopped living many years earlier. They really stopped seeking, pursuing God's plan and purpose for their lives. Their mindset became, I'm now history. I have nothing left to give, and I have nothing more to gain. And so I am checked out. But that's not how God intends us to live. I mean, if He gives us life and breath to the very end, He wants us to live out those days to the very end. There is a purpose why He gives us those additional 10 or 15 or 20 years. God doesn't want us to have an attitude that says, I'm old now, and so I'm useless. I don't matter anymore. No one cares anymore about me. This one foot in the grave thinking is always a loser and is often marked by the following characteristics. Number one, narcissism, which shouts, life is all about me and my woes and my needs, which leads to pessimism. By the way, if you're a narcissistic person, you will become a pessimistic person, which says, leave me alone while I moan and groan and complain. And this is followed by fatalism, which declares, I've run out of hope, I've run out of energy, so all that I see on the horizon is the grave. In fact, my funeral is already planned. Narcissism, pessimism, fatalism always spell an early death of soul and spirit. As Abraham lived out his final days, however, he evidenced none of this woe is me spirit. Rather, he lived life to its fullest, to the very end. Our first point this morning is the company of Abraham. If anyone had reason to simply check out or ride off into the sunset, it was Abraham. His wife of some 112 years, you think about that, he had been married to Sarah for 112 years, was now gone. His promised son now had his wife, meaning he had his life. And so Abraham could justifiably conclude, my life is over. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. It's time for me to move over and let someone else do the driving. But what do we see in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 25? Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And reading this verse, what sticks out in my thinking is the adverb again, which says to me, after the death of Sarah in Genesis 23, Abraham returned. He went back to his former condition, his normal, everyday, I love living attitude. He continued to live, this time in the company of a new bride, a new wife. He fell in love again, which is huge. To love, ladies and gentlemen, is very powerful. It's very motivating. It's very energizing. It's a good thing to fall in love. It's a good thing to be in love. It's a great thing to stay in love. God gave Abraham the grace-filled pleasure of experiencing a fresh romance one more time. As one author writes, there's just something delightful about new love that puts zip back into life. Now please understand, I am not saying that when a person becomes a widower or a widow, that he or she is automatically to assume that wedding bells are in the future. Maybe that is God's will. I've seen men and women who have lost their spouse and they have found real joy in a subsequent romance and wedding. The point is, we all need to have a company of people around us. Being the lonely man doesn't cut it. Sitting at home feeling lonely will mean you start feeling sorry for yourself. And that doesn't make it. That's not healthy. Which might include a new spouse who will challenge us to keep us running this race called life, to keep on laying aside every weight, to keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. One huge reason older people give up is because of a lonely, broken heart. I say surround yourself with appropriate company, grand companionship, that can once again help make life feel normal. Can I say exciting? The company Abraham had helped to keep him living. Which brings us to point number 2. Not only do we see here the company of Abraham, but we see the family of Abraham. Verse 2 says, and she bare him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. They got busy. By the way, Zimran means musician, and perhaps he brought great, beautiful, lovely music to the home. Jokshan means snarer, one who snares. And I was thinking, well, what could that mean? Well, maybe he was an exceptional hunter who brought home this delicious game to eat. Whatever. The point is, Abraham didn't just sit on the front porch and rock away his life. He didn't just watch the world pass him by. He continued to live. He continued to be a husband. He continued to be a father. He continued to be family. He was in the game. Now, I'm not saying you are to have children when you are in your later years. That's probably impossible. There's some reason God gives to young couples children. Abraham was unique in this regard. I mean, think about it. He had 6 more boys after his 140th birthday. Chew on that one for a while. That's not normal in today's mortality, amen? But what is still possible is to be directly involved in being family, in having and maintaining a part in your children and in your children's children or your grandchildren's lives. Family matters. So as you get older, stay connected and be a special part of your family's experiences of growing and blooming and bearing fruit. Such exciting moments of life bring you life. The family of Abraham. Our third point this morning is the generosity of Abraham. Notice verses 5 and 6, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country." Please understand, Isaac was the promised son, the one whom God said would be the sole heir of the covenant, the one through whom the Hebrew nation, the Jewish people, would be born. And so Abraham's marriage to Keturah didn't change Isaac's legal status, and rightly so. He continued to be the principal heir of Abraham's heritage. But as we read in verse 6, Abraham still took good care of all his other children, establishing them financially as they left home to start their own families. Perhaps he remembered how he failed Ishmael and Hagar, whom he sent away with inadequate provisions. He wasn't going to repeat that mistake. He was going to do right before them. Now, the reason Abraham sent his sons to the land of the east was to preserve Isaac's primacy as his right as Abraham's heir. He wanted Isaac to be set apart. Now, someone has said, do your giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. And the point the text is making, parents are to provide for their children, not children for the parents. And we see this back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read for you verse 14. "Behold, the third time, Paul says, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." And certainly Abraham fulfilled well this responsibility. He chose to do his giving while he was living. Each of us will have his own unique financial status in our later years. Meaning for some, hearing my voice, you will have more than enough to comfortably live on retirement. For others, you will have just enough. So you'll have to be careful. Still for others, you will die with very little, if any, money left in the bank. Perhaps there will only be enough to bury you, if that. Again, the point, whatever we can or cannot do financially for our children, we can still give them love. We can still hug them. We can still say, I love you. We can still give them our prayers. We can still give them encouragement. We can still say, you know, I believe in you. God has a special plan and purpose for your life. And I'm praying that that life will be brought to pass. We can still give them our time. We can give them our time. We can still give them an example of biblical Christianity, meaning we can still do them right by having a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And then when our children do lay us to rest, when they sing in the garden at our funeral, they can honestly say, Dad and Mom, you are that example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. You honestly said, follow me as I follow Christ, and I could do that because I know you followed Christ. You kept running through the finish line. I tell my kids all the time, run through the finish line. Don't crawl across the finish line. You kept the faith to the very end. Ladies and gentlemen, that is given while you're living. give, be a giver. So many people have never understood that life comes when you give. You die when you keep. You live when you give. And the first people you should give to are those you love the most, and that's your children and your grandchildren. I say, what a legacy Abraham left. And what a generous legacy you and I can leave. A life that loves. If you have a life that loves, that will keep you living until you die. The legacy of Abraham. Two more points this morning. The death of Abraham. Notice verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 115 years. When you do the math, Abraham lived another 38 years following Sarah's death. I find that exciting, amazing. He lived 38 more years. That's significant. Verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man in full of years, and was gathered to his people. The Hebrew phrase for full of years simply means to be full, which declares even at the end of Abraham's years, he was still full of life, full of joy, full of satisfaction, full of contentment. His car was still in drive. It wasn't parked along the roadside. He wasn't in the front yard up on blocks. He was living. He was still giving. And oh, I pray that that is how I finish. Full. Full of years. I love Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. That's living full. Full life. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now the expression, he was gathered to his people, picture the practical burial ritual in which the body was allowed to decay, and then his bones were gathered and placed in the family's ossuary with those who had gone on before. But here it carried the added significance of joining his God-believing ancestors in the eternal presence of the Lord. One author writes, Abraham's bones joined those of Sarah in the tomb as his soul joined hers in the throne room of God. And so we have the death of Abraham. He died full, not empty. And then one more point, the burial of Abraham. Notice verses 9 and 10. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. Here we see that Abraham's burial, his funeral, brought together Isaac and Ishmael, who perhaps otherwise would have been estranged from each other. And they buried him in the place which Abraham purchased at Hebron. And you and I can read about that acquisition in Genesis chapter 23. Now let me say, if any of my family might be estranged, I trust that at my funeral they will bury the hatchet. But what a way to go! What a way to go! What a way to live! And because Abraham so lived, what a way he died! We can celebrate his life, which truly makes his death a coronation. He has gone on to his eternal reward. Now let me give you two valuable secrets as we end this message that cover not only living well, but then finishing well, which means we die well. And I acknowledge Chuck Swindoll in these two valuable secrets. And secret number one is faithfully remember that each day offers opportunities for staying young at heart. I love that. Faithfully remember that each day offers opportunities for staying young at heart. So make good choices, and here's some good choices to make. Number one, choose to have a positive attitude. Number two, choose to focus on good things. Number three, choose to face life's opportunities with eager anticipation. Number four, choose to set aside your own expectations. Embrace what God chooses you to do. In other words, and this is number five, choose God's will, not your will. Say every day, Lord, help me to choose your will. Number six, choose your friends well. Number seven, choose to be kind to everyone, but distance yourself from negative, self-centered people, or you will become like them. Number eight, choose wisely how you will invest your time, your talents, and your treasure. Number nine, cultivate healthy habits. Number 10, fill your life with the fine arts, not the coarse, vulgar side of life. Watch what you watch. Govern what you listen to. You don't want to become desensitized to sin. Number 11, choose to keep your mind active by reading and studying and memorizing and meditating. Don't be passive. Be proactive. Number 12, choose to sweat. Choose still to sweat. Exercise is still beneficial. It's good discipline. Number 13, choose to eat and drink right. Let me say, water is the best beverage you can drink. So when you go to a restaurant, and I'm speaking to my wife, order water. It's free. I know I've gone to meddle it, I know. But it's better for you. You say, well, I like my Diet Coke. And I respond, that's fine, but water is best. You say, well, I love my coffee, and I respond, well, that's fine, but water is best. God made water. There's some reason that God brought water to pass through our faucets. Amen? Learn to enjoy water. I promise you, if you drink water, you'll feel better. And if you feel better, you'll serve the Lord with more energy. Drink lots of water. The legendary baseball pitcher Satchel Paige once pitched an inning of an exhibition game at 62 years of age. He retired six batters, including Hank Aaron, on 12 pitches. He was 62. When asked about his excellent health and impressive longevity, he offered the following advice for staying young. He said, and I quote, if you're over 6 years of age, follow these rules closely. Let me give you a disclaimer. I am not advocating these rules. But what I am saying, he had some rules to live by. Do you have rules to live by? Do you? He had some rules to live by. Number one, avoid fried meats. They anger up the blood. Number two, if your stomach disputes you, lie down and pacify it with cool thoughts. Number three, keep the juices flowing by jangling around gently as you move. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know if you kind of do this or I don't know. Whatever you do, it has to be done gently. If you're visiting, this is not a normal message. Laughter is good medicine. Amen. Number four, go light on the vices, such as carrying on in society. The social ramble ain't restful. That's good. Number five, avoid running at all times. And number six, don't look back. Someone might be gaining on you. And then there's one more choice. Number 14, choose how you face failures and disappointments. Don't let them defeat you. We're all going to have failures. We're all going to have disappointments. We experience them every day, but we don't let them defeat us. Secret number one, faithfully remember that each day offers opportunities for staying young at heart. And then one more. Number two, second secret, diligently refuse to give up. Determine that you will never stop living until someone puts, I love this, someone puts a mirror under your nose and finds there's no fog. You never stop living. Never quit. Quitters, and we've heard this for years, but it is so true. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. Satchel Paige, one more thing from him, asked the journalists who were wondering about his age, and I quote, "How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?" Don't die before you draw your final breath. We have the company, we have the family, we have the generosity, we have the death, we have the burial of Abraham. I say, what a way to go. And you know, we can wrap all of this up by saying, and Abraham was able to live this way because he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, when you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe his word and you follow the principles found in his word, when you believe God, God will count it to you for righteousness, and living righteous will keep you living until the very end. The passing of Abraham. I hope I pass as Abraham did.